Today is Palm Sunday,
as some of you guys know. It's the Sunday before Easter, and it's the time when Jesus went into Jerusalem. So as you see there, there's the reference there. We're not going to read it, but just to let you know about the context, Jesus enters into Jerusalem, and he enters... Do I need to click this? Yes, I think I need to click this. No, I didn't, maybe not. I don't know. Sorry. Okay, sorry. Bit nervous. So, Palm Sunday today. He enters into Jerusalem on a donkey. And usually, the reason why it's Palm Sunday is because they're waving palms. And Eastern traditions say that they usually Eastern traditions say that... Jesus. No. Sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry. Okay. Can we just pray? Let's just pray for a second. Heavenly Father, Lord, just pray for this service right now. I'm stumbling on my words. Just give me clarity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Start again. So Jesus enters into Jerusalem on a donkey. And then... apparently, if you ride on a horse into a city, it means it declares war. But if you want to make out peace, then you ride on a donkey. And so that is one of the reasons why people suggest that he rode on a donkey into the city, to Jerusalem, which makes it clear that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Going into Jerusalem on a low donkey. And the use of palm leaves... in those days was common because palm leaves demonstrated like as a sign of freedom from the Romans. So that is why we have Palm Sunday. And he came in and they were all very happy. It was like a procession thing. All right. But the following day, this thing happened. Jesus goes into the temple and he's not very happy about it. He sees things, selling things in the temple. People are money changing. There are money changers around. And it's usually because in Jerusalem, it was packed with Jews before the Passover, thanks to the pilgrims coming in. And so they would need to exchange their money to the correct currency of Jerusalem in order to buy the animals for, you know, to sacrifice. So let's just read it quickly. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. So... Jesus was hanging out at the temple, but as soon as he entered the temple the first time around, he was just really not very happy about their commercial activities, accusing them of turning the temple into a den of thieves. And then in the other accounts, because it's not only mentioned in Luke, it's mentioned also in Matthew, Mark, and John, they're very descriptive, and actually Jesus was actually forceful. The only account of him using physical force, turning tables, probably like, yeah, just quite forceful. And Adele probably wouldn't be able to keep up with him. So, yeah. But basically, Jesus wasn't very happy that they changed the temple because it was intended to be a house of prayer. And that's how passionate he felt about it. Originally, it came from, he was quoting Isaiah 56, which talks about how the temple is a place of joy and a house of prayer to seek, so that people could seek God in his house and dwell with him. And so, what did Jesus say? He said, "My house shall be a house of prayer, not of den of robbers, but a house of prayer." Back then, they tainted the temple. And today, have we tainted our own church? Have we tainted the temple? Have we tainted our bodies? Has it become a den of robbers? Are we the house of prayer? So I had Mandy design this, which is cool. Thanks, Mandy. You're awesome. It's a house, funnily enough, and it's an arrow. Yay! Just in case you didn't see that. It's kind of cool. But are we in a house of prayer? Is my question. So when I first started interning, Bert went through how BCECs run. And he showed me like a mind map thing of all the different groups and the activities and the people involved. And then I thought this was cool. I told him. Oh, he told me when the groups met and what they did. And it all seemed pretty well established. But then I asked him a question. I asked him, what about the prayer ministry? Don't you guys have prayer meetings? Don't you guys meet up to pray? And then he told me, yes, we do. We do that in small groups. We do it in the church service. But no, we don't have a set time where we just meet up and pray. And it makes you wonder, why not? Is prayer not important? Are we just so busy that we can't even find time in our schedules to meet up and just pray? Bert told me, yes, eventually we need to sort one up. We need to set one up. So, and as I intern, as an intern, I meet a lot of people, meet with them. And Bert has always challenged me to spend time to pray with them. And so I'm always praying for God to give me opportunities to pray with people. But actually, prayer in itself isn't just talking to God, but it heals. It brings people together and it brings people closer to God. And it's kind of like therapy, in my opinion, to the person I'm praying for and also for me, because even though I'm praying with them, we're casting the other, you know, each other's burdens to the cross, which is really nice. So that's like therapy. But at the start of this year, it had been decided that we should start one up, this prayer ministry, and I think I'm going to call it House of Prayer. Not just to meet up and share and read off bullet points and just pray randomly, and that be it. But no, it's just more than that. It's going to be a ministry that can teach those to pray better, to really step out of your comfort zone and to just, yeah, to really, really pray and get into the heart of things, to help you individually and to benefit God's kingdom. So yeah, House of Prayer for us individually. Okay, so let's take a look at our walk in life. So I've nicked this from somewhere, from a book. So this is life demonstrated with a line. As inspired by Facebook, we shall call this timeline. There's a little arrow just to let you know which direction we're going. We're not going down like Facebook, you know, the timeline goes down. But, oh, does it go up? Well, it goes in the direction of going down, doesn't it? Facebook. But this is going across so that, you know. And then this green dot, is when you have new life, when you're born again, when you start believing and you accept Jesus as your personal savior and you decide you want to follow him at this point in your life. Your conversion. Does this change your perspective in life? Absolutely. You start viewing life in a different way. You're now walking literally in the light. You are one with Christ and no longer in the dark. And you can see clearly now that the rain has gone and life is different, kind of. Well, not that obvious. It's not really obviously different, but you start to notice, a little bit of change here and there. And maybe, and then God gradually changes you as you walk along. You start to see more from God's perspective. Can you see that line? Okay, good. It's a bit. Opacity 3, sorry. So this line is here to show you that, sure, you're a young Christian, but still, we're not actually that aware of our sinful nature. We are aware of some, but not all completely, and God is slowly working on them in his own time. And when you're a young Christian, yes, we believe, and looking to Christ is important, but we're still young. We do turn to Christ, but not necessarily all the time. We try to solve our own problems. We try to fix things. Be in control. There is little need to turn to God in prayer. I'm not saying young Christians don't turn to prayer. They do. But in most circumstances, as a young believer, myself included, we might not turn to God as the first option. We won't pray to God necessarily first. That might be the last resort. And as we go down further in this, into this line, on the path, this timeline, as God teaches us and let him teach us and we grow spiritually, the closer we get to God, the more he reveals our sinful nature. And when we see this, we realize, oh my, I need God so much. And so the closer you get, the more you realize that you need God. And you become more aware of how you struggle, how you need God, how you're weak, how you have so many issues that God needs to help us with. And therefore, there is a huge need to pray. The closer you get to God, the more clearly it becomes. And so my point is, if you want to grow spiritually, you need to spend time communicating with God. It's always said for most friendships or couples and relationships, to develop a relationship, you need to talk. You need to spend time. You need to communicate. It just, it's the same instance here. If you want to grow spiritually, to become more mature, you need to talk to God. You need to spend time with him. The more you talk, the more you realize you need him, because you become more aware of your sinful nature. We need God to change us. And then you realize you're just human and he is God after all. So, are you always turning to God in prayer individually in bad times? Or how about good times? Do you turn to God? Or how about praying regularly? Or when we say grace, has it become a standard like, thank you, God, for food, amen, blah, blah, blah. And when someone asks you afterwards why you prayed, what you said those things, why did you say those in your prayer, would you remember what you said? Or is it just a standard thing that rolls off from your tongue? Has it become so generic? Or are you actually individually praying, individually speaking? Are we a house of prayer inside? And then are we a house of prayer as a church, as a whole? There's actually a really huge need for us as a church to pray together. There's just too much, just so much to pray for. And actually, BCEC is incredibly blessed, as it's quite a big church as far as Chinese churches go. But despite it being a good church, a place that I've grown to love so much, we still need to come before God in prayer. So you have the worship and audiovisual team every week. There's the worship team here and the audiovisual team over there. It's a bit crazy. Because, yeah, they meet up on the Saturday mornings and they plan and they practice. And the worship team, you know, especially the person leading, might be prone to getting a sore throat or just nerves and just little things cropping up. There's always technicalities that need to be prayed for. And it's always going to be a struggle because Satan doesn't like us worshiping God. And so he just wants to attack us and try and prevent the worship from happening. And so, yeah, you need to keep the worship team in prayer and we need to keep the technical team in prayer as well, you know, because you don't want to get feedback during the service. And then you have the Sunday school children's ministry. Like, it's amazing that parents can just come here and just let their kids go off to Sunday school and be taken care of, and they don't have to worry. And it's a huge blessing to have a children's ministry. I've been in some churches where there isn't, and it's really sad because the children just sit there. They don't learn anything. They're not having fun, and the parents are just distracted because, you know, they're taking care of their kids and they're not focusing on the service, not worshiping God. And so we are incredibly blessed to have one. But just keep the teachers, the Sunday school teachers, in prayer as well, as they prepare, that they can teach the kids with wisdom. Some of the kids might be a bit of a handful, but yeah, God can help. And then you have the welcome team, which is doing a really good job. Every week they come in extra early, less sleep, and they come in. And then they serve diligently with a humble heart, laying out those cups and cleaning up afterwards, picking up those cups from under the chairs. So it's actually a really good team. Just keep them in prayer as well. Sometimes, yeah, we just need God to provide as well, all the snacks and all the help and the energy. And maybe sometimes someone's sick, and so Rose and Bernard has to fill in for them. And then you have the church committee team. Not entirely sure what they do. I think they meet up every so often, and then they discuss things that need to be worked on, like, you know, oh, that thing needs fixing, oh, that thing needs fixing, oh, we need to pray for this, or, you know, they talk about the financial stuff. I don't know, because I don't need to go to, thanks, thankfully. but yeah, we need to keep them in prayer, because a lot of the decisions are usually made within that team. And so, again, Satan doesn't like the church happening. So he would obviously, you know, attack them first. And just keep this team in prayer. And then you have the church maintenance team. We actually, funnily enough, we have cleaners, Bernard's one. They fix things, they clean it. The church is only in the state right now because it's been cleaned. It's hoovered, it's orderly. It's just because you don't want to go to a dump, do you, for church? And then we have the building search committee. Yes, you guys are in the loop. You guys know about this. We're searching for a new building. It's a hard task. They're going through different properties. Oh my gosh, this one's too expensive. Oh my gosh, this one's not good because it's too far away. How are people going to get there? There's just so many variables to consider that we need to also lift that up in prayer for the people searching, which is Terrence, Fan, and Brenda, I think. Is that right? Three of them? Yeah. And Sarah. Okay, cool. So keep them in your prayers. And then, more need, cell groups and fellowship groups. Funnily enough, we meet up outside of this church building. We meet up outside of church in people's homes. So those are a few of the groups that meet up. You have CARE, you have CNS, which I think means care and share, something like that, I think, right? And then you have Roots, you have ID, you have Coffee Morning for the mums to go to with babies, and then you have CORE. Hopefully you guys attend one of these. If you don't, get plugged in. It's a really good place to meet up with people and pray. But these groups, the sole purpose of them is to meet up and to pray together and to learn and to grow and to encourage. And so you need to keep the leaders also in prayer. You need to keep the groups in prayer. Again, Satan doesn't like us, like it when we meet together to worship God together and to grow together. And so he will always try and prevent you from going. But you just pray that God will use these groups. And then you have the pastors, which consist of Rev Frank Chung, Lee Chang, and Bert. I don't know if you know the other two, but Frank is the overhead pastor, overseer, pastor, main dude, or something like that. No? Just advisor. Sorry, thanks. he's a really great guy. He speaks English, so yeah, if you come across him, talk to him. He's such a lovely guy. He's like my dad. And then there's Lee Chang, which is also another great guy. Sorry? He's not referent. Oh, sorry. Some church intern I am. I don't even know. I don't go to the committee meetings. That's why. Yeah, so Lee Chang is also really cool. And he heads up the Mandarin side. And then you have Bert. Yeah. He's a reverend, yes. He's a reverend. So, yeah. He officiates the weddings and the baptisms and the stuff like that. So that's cool. But you still need to keep them in prayer. Because a lot of the times, Satan just loves to attack and to crush them, to discourage them. For their health, spiritually, physically. Just keep them in your prayers. And then you have church staff and missionaries. Got some missionaries that we support. Keep them in your prayer. They're also connected to BCEC. And you have church staff like Si Ming, who's the secretary. Rose also serves, kind of. Yeah, no? Yeah, she does. I'm considered church staff, kind of. And then you have brothers and sisters, you guys and girls. You have accountants. Actually, funnily enough, we have some accountants here. Actuary, you know, people that do a lot of numbers, long numbers that don't mean anything to me. City council people that work for the city council. They do a lot of that. They just run the city, basically. Yeah! Chrissy comes under that. And Kang. And Fan. And then you have programmers. Yeah, we've got programmers that do all sorts of IT-related things. And it's really good because they bring a lot also to the church. The others do as well. you have teachers and educators that are part of the church. Yes! They teach. They educate. They give deadlines to students. The students get given deadlines. And then, they need prayer as well. The teachers and the students, they all need prayer, especially during exam time. And then for teachers, post-exam time when they're marking it. Administration, people, I don't know what, I'm not entirely sure. Bert just told me, administration, okay. Engineers. Wait, what's this? Brum, brum. It's an engineer. I'm catching on with Bert's jokes. Jeez. Okay. Public service and healthcare. People that work in public service or healthcare. It's quite challenging because they deal with so much rubbish. Sorry? No. No, that's not what I meant. Not patients. No, because the next one is doctors and nurses. That's another category. But public service and healthcare, I know a social worker and she does have to deal with a lot of rubbish and take rubbish out from people's houses. Not literally, but figuratively speaking, it's hard work because they do deal with a lot of issues that people just unload on them. And keep them in your prayer. And then you have doctors and nurses, yes. Which is a medical side. I live with a doctor. And I've learned a lot about doctors and how much of the struggles that they have. And it's hard work. And sometimes in the morning I'm making my housemate coffee and put it into the little flask thing and give her some snacks. And then she'll come home at the end of the night after a 12-hour shift. So she starts work at 9 and then she comes home at 10 or 11 p.m. And then her coffee's not touched and her snacks aren't touched either. And I'm like, you didn't have time to have a break? Not even so they're just so busy. Doctors are incredibly busy. Nurses the same. So just keep them in your prayers because they do give so much of their care and love and support to the patients, they're not rubbish. They're just very sick. Then you have artists and designers. God has given them an amazing gift to design and create things. And we are incredibly blessed to have many in the church that really, help benefit the church, like the artwork there and there. And so, catering, sorry. Oh, press back. Catering, yes. People that are in the catering business, we need food, and we need people that are in the catering business. And we're thankfully blessed with people that can cook really well, as discovered at the cake and curry party during Christmas. Retail, people that work in retail as well. That's still a job. It's a really good job. I've worked in retail. And it's hard work because the customers just, if the customers are having a bad day and they just, then they're really annoyed about something, they'll just like go angry because you're not delivering a service and all this. So do keep those in prayer. And then you have the unemployed. Yeah, just pray for them. They really need a job. God needs to provide them a job. It's really hard to make ends meet when you're unemployed, but it's a lot of trusting in God. And then you have mothers and fathers. I don't know much. I'm not a mother. But from what I've seen and what I've heard is that it's really hard to be a parent raising their children because they're learning as well. They haven't had experience in it either. And it's not just a 9-to-5 job. It's 24/7, every day, just boom, boom, boom. So, yeah, that's all of it. Oh, there are no lines. Where are my lines? I think I made them too light. Sorry. Okay. Up the opacity next time. That is meant to be a mind map, but it looks like mumbo-jumble of words. Those are all the things that BCEC needs prayer for. And those are just simple things. Of course, there are so many issues like that are inside that need praying for as well. And it's what makes this into the church. And we need God's help and we need to pray. Because human beings are so weak and we need God and everyone needs God. You and I need God. Your non-Christian friends need God. Church leaders need God too. As a church, and when we or the church pray to God, like I said, Satan is not very happy because whenever we do anything for God, be it to serve, be part of the worship team, whatever things that you're doing that glorifies God, Satan is jealous. He likes to attack us. Ephesians 6, which is a very popular passage. It talks about a spiritual armor we are to wear, and it lists the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with readiness, such as Jordan's, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible. And so the end bit is, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's, all of the Lord's people. So be alert and keep praying, and for others too. And then, get this, it's okay to ask for prayer. Even Paul, he writes, and he says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. It's okay to pray. Sometimes the thing that stops us for asking for prayer is pride. We like to keep the information to ourselves hidden. And we don't like to admit that we're struggling with something. We don't want others to know that we're weak. And so asking for prayer is actually a really humbling experience. And we can see that Paul is asking for prayer too, and it's okay. Praying together brings glory to God. And once again, I would just want to stress that Satan will do anything that he can to stop us from sharing and praying together and glorifying God. Let me tell you a story. So this project, it's a bit crazy, this project. but we've been working through it, and I'm really thankful that God has blessed many of you guys to be inspired to write and to translate as well. We've got a lot of bilingual people here that can read and write in Chinese. Just thank God for that. But do keep it in prayer, as this project is still a work in progress. Got to get printed this week in time for next week. But on Friday, as I was praying and asking God to help me preach, because it's kind of scary, I was stuck with what passage in the Bible to look at. So I spent a while asking God, and I suddenly grew discouraged. I was short on time. It was Friday. My housemate, Jing, needed to use my computer to type Chinese. Fine. I'll let her. And then I'll just stop frantically searching online for verses with the word prayer. Okay, fine. So I let her use my computer, and I just walked a few paces from the computer to my bed. It was really cold, so I got comfy in under the duvet. And I think, I needed to pray. She was helping me translate the final bit for the 60 days. But it just hit me. I was under some form of emotional attack. There was a friend WhatsApping me for asking for prayer. Another friend was sharing recipes. Another friend, you know, just loads of distractions. And then Jing was refusing to give me a hug for fear of having germs from Bert. Truth is, when I'm under attack, I get emotionally quite needy. So I seek hugs, and I seek affection from others. But here I was in a position of being both distracted from finding a prayer verse and getting emotionally, just very emotional because my friend was depressed, emotional about getting nervous about preaching, getting emotional because perhaps I volunteered to do a bit too much. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I can't be used. I'm no good. I'm useless. I'm too distracted. I'm too scared. I can't even find an appropriate Bible passage. And then Jing, oblivious to the battle going on in my head as I lay in my bed, she muttered out something. And I was like, what's that? And she said, pray that God will help you have faith when you doubt your own abilities of doing God's work. Pray that God will increase your faith tremendously. And I said, what? Why? She's muttering out a prayer for me? And then I said, huh? Are you praying? And she says back to me, no, I'm translating for you. You're translating? Wait, whose devotion are you translating? You're all silly, your words. And I'm like, oh, what? She's translating my words, and yet she's saying it out, which is a direct, you know, link that I needed to hear. And there I was, stumped, because God was using Jing to translate something, and God was using those words that I had written 4 weeks prior for the sole purpose of the 60-day project, for people to pray in faith, and to this bit was to pray for yourself bit. That was to be a response to the Bible passage, and there it was. God wanted to remind me what I wrote, that I need to have faith, that he will increase my faith tremendously. Though I doubt my own abilities of doing God's work, God wanted to remind me that he is almighty, he is sovereign. So, Anzi, stop worrying. And then I cried, as you do. And then Jing got startled because she's never seen me cry. And she thought that I was actually really scared, but actually I wasn't scared. I was incredibly touched that God was speaking to me through her, and our roles kind of reversed because she's usually the one crying on the bed and I'm sat on the computer going, dear, okay, yes. You know, because she's sharing her struggles from her job. But there I was crying, and yeah, I'm incredibly touched by God. And then I proceeded to share that this quote up on Facebook and Twitter, as you do. People liked it, which is always good. But then my friend commented and told me he thought of the parable of the mustard of the seed. Mustard seed being really like the smallest seed. But it will grow into something so big. And then it was a reminder that, yes, I need to have faith. Even if it's the size of the mustard seed, God will still do something. And he said, it was funny because a pastor mentioned it to him on the Tuesday before. So it was really funny how I posted that thing up and it led him to think that. And then I was just like, whoa, God is crazy. This is insane. And so when you do things for God, we will be attacked. We will get discouraged. We will get knocked down. And that's when we need to come before God and pray. We're weak. We're not superheroes. We don't have superpowers. And we're human beings that desperately need God. We need to ask for prayer. And we need to pray together. And we need to be a house of prayer. Yeah, just to remind ourselves that we're not perfect. And that God is sanctifying us every day, making us perfect in his image. And we need God to protect us and help us to fight. Let's just end with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord. God, you are amazing. You're the one that we can turn to seek help. You're our refuge and our strength when times are hard, when things don't work out, when we feel rejected, when we feel lonely, when we feel ashamed. Lord, you still embrace us. Despite all the flaws that we have, despite how sinful we feel, Lord, I thank you that you gave us Jesus, that we can pray. And thank you that we have a community that we can share with and carry each other's burdens with and to support and to seek support from. But Lord, I do pray for us as individuals to be a house of prayer, not as a den of robbers, but Lord, to really come before you and to know that there is a huge need for us. And I pray for us as a church to be that house of prayer that puts you first, that turns to you, and to glorify you together. Lord, I pray for all my brothers and sisters here, those that might be struggling. Pray, Lord, that you would wrap your arms around them, Lord, right now. And as we come to a time of worship, Lord, I pray that we seek you first. And that you'll humble us, Lord. Take away that pride that will stop us. Sharing prayer requests, Lord. I pray that we come before you and to pray together.